what we're trying to do is get the agency's mission needs met through the vehicle composition. And in some cases, that may be, trimming the number of vehicles. In some cases, it may be finding more, fuel-efficient vehicles. In some cases, it may be keeping the same number of vehicles, but downsizing those to a vehicle, downsizing them either on, fuel mileage or in size and composition so that the agencies can better use the vehicles that they have. In a lot of cases, you have agencies that are using, very large fuel-inefficient cars to do very short runs on, a campus or, to and from across town, and those could be much smaller vehicles that are getting a much higher fuel efficiency and releasing lower carbon emissions.
I wanted to ask you about the $4.3 million purchase for, I think it's a couple of hundred of all-electric cars, or so-called all-electric, and I believe the figure was $100,000 in savings in fuel per year from those couple of hundred cars. Does that seem like a good return on investment?
Well, what this is actually a pilot project so that we can begin to integrate electric vehicles into the federal fleet. What those numbers are is that's the estimated fuel savings, but it's not just about fuel. It's about the emissions. It's about the life cycle cost of these vehicles. And what we're seeing is that some of these electric vehicles have a lower life cycle cost. There's lower maintenance. There's lower operating costs to them. And what we're trying to do through this pilot is discover what that looks like and discover how that can be integrated in and across the entire federal fleet. What we've done with this purchase is, and I want to make clear that it's not just about the vehicles pilot, it's about an infrastructure pilot and laying the foundation for a federal electric vehicle infrastructure charging operation across the country. What we've done with 116 vehicles, and it is 101 Chevy Volts, 10 Nissan Leafs, and 5 Think City vehicles. And we're pairing those up across the country in, to begin with in 5 cities, and then we're going to expand that. And marrying that up with installing infrastructure and working with the agencies to locate these vehicles and co-locate them, where some agencies have more than several agencies have more than one, and laid that infrastructure down so that as we follow on to this, we can then build on this pilot foundation.
I want to get in a little bit more into detail regarding that infrastructure in particular. How is that infrastructure going to work, and is that going to be a lot of cost at the beginning for the return on investment on the back end?
Once the infrastructure is installed, it's there. And so this is an upfront investment in the further life of the federal electric vehicle charging infrastructure. And where we're locating these vehicles, and this is where we're working closely with the agencies, and we have been for months to place the orders, is that we're putting these vehicles in locations where the mission need matches the vehicle technology capability. The Leafs get about 75, they get about 75 miles to a charge. So, we're not going to put them in a place where the mission need is 76 miles an hour. What we're doing, and the other advantage of the Chevy Volt, is that it can flip to gas if it goes beyond its charge capability. So as we work with the agencies, what we're doing is we want to place them where the mission need matches the technology of the vehicle, and that way we're getting the most fuel efficiency possible out of this new advanced technology.
Now, with respect to this Think City car, that's a pretty tiny little thing. And what about the agency managers that are used to the Suburbans and being driven around or driving them themselves and looking like they're important public figures? And now they're in a city car or a Leaf. Does that figure in the equation?
Well, I think it does, and I think it figures into the equation in a very positive way, because this is the directive that the president has given us, is that he's directing agencies to lower their petroleum consumption by 30% by 2020, and a lot of these agencies are finding this is an avenue to do that. And the Think City vehicle is it is perfect for, running around campuses, running around bases, running around, places where you just need to get going, and you can use a much, much more fuel-efficient vehicle to do that.
We're speaking with GSA Chief of Staff Michael Robertson about the fleet program that GSA is undertaking. Now, what about the retirement of the existing cars that operate on gasoline? They don't fit the new picture, but on the other hand, you have an investment in them. And what's your plan for disposing of the cars that just use gas.
Well, yes, and as we're as we replace cars annually, we pull the least fuel efficient vehicles out of the fleet, and then resell them as part of our ongoing revolving fund that supplies the money for these vehicles. And as we begin to phase those out and bring in the more higher fuel efficiency vehicles, we will then begin to turn over the entire fleet. As the president's directed, by 2015, 100% of the purchases will be advanced fuel and technology vehicles, and we will then be replacing the older vehicles in the fleet with those. So far, we've doubled the number of hybrids in the federal fleet over the past 2 years, which has been a great step forward. We've also, this year, placed orders on about 35,000 of the roughly 60 to 65,000 vehicles we purchase every year. Of that 35,000, over 22,000 have been this advanced fuel vehicle technology. And so we're well on our way to being able to meet that 2015 goal of 100% purchases. And this opportunity and the contract that we've let with this electric vehicles program is going to give GSA and other agencies the opportunity to purchase the vehicles and meet that goal. One of the great things about the contract and the way it's been structured is that it's now open to all agencies, and we've awarded it. We have three vehicles on it. However, it is not a closed contract. It's open, so that anybody who comes up with a brand new advanced vehicle technology can put their bid in to get awarded on this contract, and they don't have to wait for a time period. It's not closed and then opened again at another point. At any point in time, somebody can bid on it, get awarded, and then have their vehicles available to the federal government for purchase.
What about police cars and rapid pursuit that have to be rugged? Can you really do those without regular conventional engines?
Well, at this point, the security vehicles and the law enforcement vehicles are exempt from the fuel efficiency standards because the technology is not to the point that can give them the power they need to do high pursuit and to do security protection. One of the things that is in the memo is that GSA and Treasury and DOJ are working with agencies to come up with a good solid definition of what those vehicles are and ensure that the definition meets the actual use of the vehicle. And so we're going to be looking at that as well to make sure that we are putting the right mission of the vehicle in with the definition of law enforcement and security vehicles.